done, Mike. I'm retiring.
Uh-oh, here we go again.
You want your legacy to be muscle shirts and body counts?
Look at this mess, it's carnage!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by SwagRight.com. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look under Podcasts to search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Speaking of reviews, JVL, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so we got a review about our Star War episode.
Uh-oh.
Star War.
The gentleman, I assume it was a gentleman, who left the review was not happy with us. He wrote... one star. This is T-Mod Austin, who should drive into a tree and die. Oh, I usually enjoy your reviews, but the totally in the weeds review, in the weeds in quotes.
In the weeds.
Of Rise of Skywalker was so depressing I had to turn you off. Something to remember going forward for me. If you have to do the math to justify enjoying a movie, become an accountant, but stop doing reviews.
I don't even know what that means, but he doesn't get to listen to the show anymore, so.
Yes.
He's banned. You're banned from the show.
I saw that review, I go, oh, I don't want to tell JVL.
Can I give you a little, just as a for instance?
For instance.
One of the things I have learned from doing my other show on Patreon is that you can actually block people from being able to listen to it.
Really?
If there's like a person who you don't want them to be able to, like they come and they're like, hey, I'd like to give you money and listen to your show. You can say, meh, I'd rather not let you listen to it.
I'd rather you didn't.
Wow. Just a thought for us going forward.
Team out Austin. The thing I didn't understand about that review was it in the weeds or was it too focused on the numbers? Like those are two different things, really. Like if your
numbers was like a 90-second.
Yeah, the numbers, like whatever. I mean, it's the actual only interesting thing about Star Wars at this point is looking at the box office figures
movies. I thought he meant like the calculations you did for Death Stars and the amount of water and manpower needed. Was that what he was thinking?
Well, that was 90 seconds.
Yeah.
The box office talk was slightly more than that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever. That was a great episode. That was a great show.
That was a great show.
You should all listen to it again.
People who don't like that show,
there you go.
T-Mod Austin.
So one star.
Drive into a bridge above.
Hurtful. Other than that, JVL?
I'm fine. I'm still recovering from having gone to a party.
What? When did you do that?
I went to a party for you, Sonny!
I was wondering,
you were acting so funny. I was curious.
I just kind of assumed that Shannon would show up and you would stay home with the kids.
That's how we normally do it.
That's what I used to do. It's a going away party for Sonny, so Jonathan will stay home.
I figured that's what would happen. I was fine with that. I see you pretty regularly.
We did that recently, actually. There was some party that she wanted to go to that I was like...
Christmas party.
The Christmas party, the McCormick Christmas party.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Thank you. I may or may not have texted our regular babysitter and told her... don't come. So that I would have an excuse to stay home with the kids and not have to go. The thing is, I like John fine.
You just hate parties.
Well, I hate parties because you can't.
That's why I don't invite you to the New Year's
one bad person that you don't like is all it takes to ruin everything.
So who is the bad
person?
Yeah,
that's now I want to know. Who is it? The list is long.
Is it Andy Ferguson? Did you see Andy Ferguson?
The party for you. Was that it was all great people.
All good people.
It was only the people I really love.
That's good.
It was great.
Good. I'm glad you came. I had a good time.
Was it bittersweet?
I was glad I didn't...
Did it tug at your heartstrings?
It was nice to see all of the people from the D.C. metropolitan area, more or less, who have...
It was a good turnout for you and the missus.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it
was
good.
To send you off.
It was good.
One last time.
It was nice. It was fun.
Sunny Fest.
It was fun. I was very touched. I was glad Matt did not ask me to make any remarks.
Would it have gotten dusty?
No, I just wouldn't have had anything to say. I would have been like, hey, thanks guys.
Good riddance. Thanks guys. Thanks for the memories.
Thanks for coming to this. Thanks for throwing this so I didn't have to do it. See you guys later.
I remember when you were a kid. You were a UVA intern at the Standard.
That's right. Once upon a time.
And you know, and he was quiet. He had, I didn't know what his
opinion. 2002.
I didn't know if he had any opinions. Little did I know.
Well, he had opinions, and they were all right. They were all in there. They were all correct.
They're not really opinions. They're just facts. Exactly. waiting to come forth.
Lots of dark thoughts. Lots of dark thoughts.
So you leave tomorrow?
Yeah, we pack up the truck tomorrow.
And when you say pack up the truck,
we've got a truck
coming.
Do you
mean you're moving yourself?
No, Mayflower.
Okay, so you did not get a truck that you're going to pack the truck yourself. No.
Yeah, we've hired movers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big operation.
We have the house, I would say, 95% packed up. We've got like 5 or 6 boxes of stuff that probably still need to go away. We're at the point where we're just like throwing things into boxes where it's like we're like going through the kitchen.
Packing
we're like, this. The only big thing I have left to pack is my like 65-inch plasma TV. And I'm terrified. I'm terrified that is not going to make it.
The chances of that making it successfully
across
the country are basically zero.
I know. I should probably just 65. Give it to a good home here, but
give it
to
a neighbor.
I can't.
Don't you have any neighbors that you like? You're like, hey, here.
I don't have any who are willing to take a 130-pound plasma TV. People forget how heavy those were.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The plasmas, it's funny. I went to a Target the other day and I was like, oh, how heavy is this, like, 4K OLED TV, you know? And I picked it up. It's like 30 pounds at the most, like including the box and all that. I was like, oh, okay, that's great. That would be much more convenient than the TV that I'm trying to move across the country. I'd say there's like a 30% chance. I would say there's a 10% chance that both of my plasma TVs make it. And I would say there's like a 40% chance that one of them makes it. We'll see.
That's rough.
Oof. I have 2 plasmas. That's right. I have not upgraded my TV situation in like 12 years.
I'm sorry.
They're so good.
Do you like nice inky blacks?
You know what I like? I like black levels that don't gray out.
Yeah.
So that's why I've come. The only TV, again, we had this discussion, I don't know, earlier in the year, I guess. But the only TV I would consider upgrading to at this point is an OLED. And I'm waiting for those to come down to a more reasonable price point.
The OLEDs are very nice.
Yeah.
Victorino, how are you?
I'm recovering as well. I feel just like you because I also had been drinking from Tuesday to Sunday. So that was a very rough.
Oh, to be clear, my recovery was not drinking related, although I do have I did have 2
sugar
huffers.
It wasn't drinking related. It was just like
social
anxiety.
No, I went to that party without. I went to that
heavily
party.
Medicated. I didn't realize we're medicated.
No, not even medicated. No, I went without taking my Xanax. That's why it was such I went totally okay. Naked and vulnerable. Wow. And then I had 2 Schuffer Huffers.
You did? At the show. I saw you drink one. I was like, okay. Uh-oh. But then when you broke the second one out, I was like, whoa.
Getting crazy.
So you
Key
had
bowl
to
is
drink,
coming out.
You had to drink from when to when?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I took off Monday and Tuesday.
So this was like a saw? That there were, you were locked into a,
yes.
a basement,
yeah.
And there
yeah,
were
the
people.
One, yeah,
with,
there was like the there was the there was the glass in the cage with the hands, and then there was the pendulum. You know, so you obviously don't watch them; they're terrible.
They're awful. I've seen the first. I think
crush your hands, or you will
Saw
get
movies.
Split in half. And the guy's like, "It's too painful." Ah, you know, it's so disturbing, and there's guts flying, and it's just okay. But no, so it was different occasions, different reasons, functions, dinners, lunches, things to be friendly with people, and stuff like that. And so that's what happened, and it culminated, of course, in Sunnyfest on Saturday
Sunnyfest.
Night, and. I made myself. Oh, I was making drinks.
You were making
drinks.
I
was making Manhattans, which is always an easy. I don't know why. I feel like it's easier to make in my mind than martinis. And I love making martinis, but I think if you're making it for larger crowds, because the ratio is for me in my feeble mathematical mind. I know the ratio is like 2:1:2, which is, you know, 2 parts.
Yeah, with a martini, it's like 9:1 or
depends.
You know,
it depends
1.
On how dry
depends
you,
on
want
you want
it and different infusions and things. But the if you want, you know, orange bitters or whatever else. But with the Manhattan, it's for me in my mind, I got that pretty much set, and I think people like that. The secret is the cherry juice. When you give people a cherry, if you decide to go that way, get a little sweeten it up, and then they can't tell how much they're drinking. That's usually my
point. So you were only making them for other people.
Oh, and I a little myself because I got to make sure it's
Because I thought I saw you with this, it's like a big silver milkshake pitcher. Container.
Oh, yeah, that was for everybody. You didn't see me drink out of it. I was just using it to make drinks for other people.
You just tasted?
I tasted from time to time, every other, you know, thing. But that worked out well. But the problem was, I had also previously volunteered to work the breakfast buffet at the Knights. And so I said, I'd love to help you guys out. You know, and they said, great. And then the breakfast buffet starts around, you know, 9:30 in the morning. I can do that. And because, well, they said, you know, our coffee OJ guy isn't here. So if you can do that, I said, perfect. What time? Like, and he's like, yeah, 7 a.m. If you could show up at 7 a.m., that'd be perfect.
Squeeze the orange juice yourself?
So I was like, how hard can the job be? Right. At 7 a.m. So I show up and, you know, it's a giant kitchen because they have a huge reception hall and the buffet. Breakfast goes from like 9 to noon or something like that, or 8:30 to 9 to noon. And so you do have about hundreds of people who come in. And so the juice part is fairly easy, except for you have to find. And so I don't know where everything is. And so it's finding these old, the frozen concentrates, you know.
No.
Yeah. The frozen concentrates, you got to put in a giant tub. Right, and you got, and then you put in the water, and then it's like 3-1 or 4-1 with the, you know, with the
more math.
The ratio, more math, and they got to mash it up, you know.
I went to Georgetown. I'm not equipped for this.
And then you got to take it from the giant tub and pour it into the nice container, the carafe. I start doing that. I didn't realize the spout was open when it was there at the counter. So I poured, it starts coming out, you know, and so I got the coffee. I got orange juice everywhere. The coffee thing was interesting because they have these giant carafes. I don't know, 40, 50 cups, you know, for a thing, and you put it under this giant machine. I said, fairly easy, and you got to put the filter in, and they have these giant filters, and they have these industrial bags of coffee, you know.
Only the finest Robusto beans.
Kate was asking me the name of it, and I was like, I don't know, Reserve or something.
Chock full of nuts.
Not even, right? So I say to the guy, I said, how much coffee do I put? He goes, I don't know. I mean, Jay was the one who did it, and I don't know. So I said, all right, so I put a whole bag. The whole bag into this filter thing, right? And I put, when I looked at it, and it's a giant filter, I go, that kind of looks like a lot, but I'll put it in anyway. And then I just
did you overflow
and
it?
So, no, but it started coming out looking really dark and thick, you know? And so then they had water the whole thing. I put it out. So then the people start showing up. And by the way, 9 o'clock, 8:30. The old people are there already. You know, they're waiting.
They show up early, eating for breakfast.
They show up right, you know, because of mass.
The early bird.
If mass is at 7:30, whatever, they're there and they're just waiting. They're chomping at the bit. So I bring it out, and then all of a sudden it starts picking up, and then people are saying, you know, some people want tea, and I forgot I put up, you know, a hot water section with the plates, and then people, and you got to get the OJ out and then bring out the other cartons, and then of course the coffee and then the cream and everything else, and it's just going around in a circle. I come out to check. And there's an old lady there, and she goes, oh my gosh, this coffee is so strong. I can't drink it. It's too strong. And I said, well, hey, it just had more cream. She goes, I did. It's like tar. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll go and check who made the coffee, and I'll tell them. I don't know who it is, lady. I'll find out. I was also wearing an apron that had another person's name on it, Bryant. So if anyone complained, they would say, well, you know, that Bryant guy, he was the worst.
Can we back up on this
for
a second?
Yes, Sonny.
I don't understand why you were working.
Well, you were going to be a Knight of Columbus soon, Sonny.
What is it?
And so at your initiation, we will learn how old this is.
We do a breakfast for everybody in the Arlington area. It's like $10 for it's cheap. It's really cheap.
That's and all pretty the, cheap. $10 $10 for terrible coffee.
It's a huge buffet. And it all goes
watery
to charity.
Orange juice.
It all goes to charity. It got waterier later because we were running out of juice. And it's like, well, this tastes a little watered down. I go, that's because it is. Anyway, but you know, and it all goes to charity. And nobody gets. I mean, we're all volunteers, and so we do this. And the guys working in the back, you know, they're slaving away with the bacon and everything else there. I try not to get in their way. You know, you try to. I'm not a restaurant person myself, but you try to just plan what your route is, so you're not constantly bumping into people and just doing.
Did you
job.
Have to yell out on your right,
right?
On your right, on your left.
Fire up a Scrabble. And then they say, and then they'll repeat it for you.
Did anyone call you an idiot sandwich?
No, but
with the pieces of bread on your head.
This happened to you?
It's a meme.
Oh, it's a meme. Okay. So then, so that's going on, and then at 9:30 the coffee machine breaks.
Uh-oh.
And 9:30 in the middle of service.
Yeah, that's no good.
And now there's like, you know, 100 people, and they're And they're
how did it break? It probably didn't have anything to do with somebody jamming it full of 5 pounds of grinds.
The indicator said.
It's a mystery.
Error.
It was
said,
Brian.
Bryant did it. And it said water supply error. Water supply error. I said, oh, that can't be good. And so I brought in the other fellow, Steven, this Australian who was normally the bartender at the club, and he takes no guff from anybody. He's a tough guy, and he's calling. He's got a call, and they're telling him it's the thing in the back, you know, because it connects to the actual water pipe,
right,
so it supplies
right. Plumbed, as we call it in business.
And so then they finally get it done, and it's like it's going to take 30 minutes to heat up this water.
Oh,
and I said that is going to be the longest 30 minutes. I said, do you want to tell them, because they're all out there, like, where's the coffee? And even he was like, "Because I'm not going out there, mate." He goes, "They got their knives out." And so I said, "Oh, they're gonna stab us." So I said, "Forget about it." So we just waited and finally brought out. And then in the middle of the chaos, and then one of the other nights, a big fella comes up to me and he goes, "I'm not saying new guy shows up and all hell breaks loose, but new guy showed
you
up.
Broke it.
And
you broke it."
And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't know. Complain to that Bryant guy.
The lesson,
he's the worst. Bryant is the worst."
The lesson, as always, is never help anyone.
Never volunteer.
Never volunteer for anything. Never try to improve.
It was exhausting. So from 7 a.m. till about 2, I didn't get home till 2.
Never try to improve people's lives.
It was exhausted. We had to break, and we got to break it down. We got to break everything down at the end.
This is a continuing complaint of mine, which is for any sort of fundraiser, mm-hmm, like this sort, mm-hmm, of thing, or kids selling raffle tickets, or the Scholastic, but you know, your kids are selling wrapping paper, right?
Charleston wrapping to raise money for the choir. Yeah.
Just let me write you a check.
Oh,
I don't need to go to this thing to drink watery.
You just
want to
throw money at it.
Oh.
No, but
don't
also
worry.
Like,
normally
so
it's
you,
much.
Yeah,
it's, it, there it's, are I'm expenses, getting better,
right? Anytime you set something up, you got to pay for the bacon. You do have to pay for the ice orange juice, right? These wouldn't it be easier for everybody, mm-hmm, instead of going through all this rigmarole, mm-hmm, for people to come and, mm-hmm, drink tar coffee that costs money to make anyway, and for you to give up like 10 hours of your weekend? How about everybody just writes a check for $15 and be done with it?
For a lot of these,
why
folks,
do you have to pretend
that
you're
you
getting
why.
A breakfast out of it?
Because community.
Community, I love.
I loved
working with the brothers at the kitchen. I thought that was exciting. And also, a lot of those people do enjoy the food. I do. I took home a giant tray of bacon. And it was, I did. I took a picture of it and put it on Twitter. I filled up an entire styrofoam of bacon. And they got an omelet bar, and they got waffles and fried chicken. It's delicious. And it's a serve. And people, especially old people, they're not going to, you know, they like their, you know, coffee's fine. I'm getting better at the coffee. I'll put it to you this way. Next month, it'll be just right. But
you're going to do this every month?
I'd like to. I enjoy doing it. And it's once a month. And I like helping them. And besides, when I wasn't helping them, I was eating there, you know. And then so I have your fellow brothers serving you, and I'm like kind of weird feeling like that, you know. I mean, it's like I could do this.
Yeah, just write them a check.
No, oh. I love the food.
Oh, you
I
mean,
love
you
breakfast
mean
buffet.
Brothers, as in brothers of the Knights of Columbus.
Yes, Sonny. Yes.
Sonny, your time is coming
because yeah. when
you're
going to
be a knight soon.
When you said brothers in the kitchen,
oh.
I had an entirely different,
and we let that
mental,
slip. And
I
you're
had an
have
entirely
like,
different
and,
mental
and,
image,
and
I was
thinking
like,
of Dennis Haysbert at the griddle in Heat.
Vic, that is incredibly racist.
It felt like that. These guys work hard.
I was like, Vic, that is incredibly racist. I'm gonna have to
shower
this out
caps.
Later.
You gotta wear
but
the shower
mean,
caps.
You mean
like Dennis Haysbert,
brothers of the Knights of Columbus,
brother Knights. Sonny, you think you're gonna have to bleep that?
I was just sitting there thinking, I'm glad we explained it to people because I know I'm not the only one who heard that. Because
anyway,
I looked at JVL and JVL gave me kind of the huh.
I will tell you, but it's not probably for you because again you are dealing with a lot of people. I like it because it's $10 and it's a lot of food. I easily get $50 out of that.
So you're taking money. You're taking money away from the charity.
No, in my stomach. In my stomach. What surprised me? Here's my interesting observation from the coffee service. Which man, it goes fast. That stuff goes. I mean, people love their coffee, but they also most people. I'm surprised take a lot of cream with their coffee. They like the milk in the coffee. I don't know. It's like I don't know. I felt it was like more than half of people. Maybe when you get older, the more you use. Is that it? I mean, do you take cream and stuff? I know you do, Sonny, because you're
oh yeah, I like I don't like, I don't like mm-hmm. coffee so much as I
yeah, that's right, you're not finicky.
I've used this line before, but I don't mm-hmm. particularly care for coffee mm-hmm. but coffee is an excellent cream and sugar delivery device. So like I like you'd sweetener.
Like my, yeah, you'd like I had
like,
that.
I like skim milk.
I had sweetener out there. You would have liked that.
If I could
that.
Just drink a cup of skim milk and sweetener with like a caffeine pill ground up in it.
You would take do. That. But you're a coffee snob. I could see why you would not like my coffee, Brian's well,
I
coffee.
I don't
Brian's
drink coffee.
Coffee.
Oh, right. You I drink only drink espresso. Oh, what what brand of espresso machine do you have at the Knights of Columbus
somebody,
Hall? Is it a La Mazzarocco?
Somebody brought up the show to the creator of the Black Blood of the Earth.
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
On Twitter. The guy who runs the...
I didn't realize it at first because it was like...
Yeah, Herr Doctor.
Yeah, it was
Beetle Broughton.
Is he a listener of the show? I don't...
But
somebody like mentioned the fact that we did it on the show. And he was like, did they start talking faster as the show went on? They're like, yep.
I didn't understand it at first when I was looking at those tweets because it was like all this BBOT. I thought it was like, a certain kind of fetish.
Yeah.
Like BB, you know.
And in your mind's eye, what did it stand for?
I don't know, but I typed in some other thing. And the next thing, you know, I would say that what surprised me is, again, just how much we go through it. People love their coffee. And the old people, they like coffee. And it's affordable for old people to go to these things. And families and kids, it's great to take your kids after church. And
how much is it for kids?
$5.
So it's $10 for the parents and $5 for the kids.
Great.
Let me ask you this.
It's great. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. What is the total gross revenue take for a typical breakfast?
I have no idea. I'm not the money guy there. I'm not the treasurer. I don't know what the numbers are.
Because I got to think that the total take then minus the expenses, because bacon is... Even like C-class bacon, which is, I'm sure, what you guys are getting.
It was good bacon.
That stuff costs money.
You got the boar's head. The thick cut boar's head.
If you really want to raise money, just say to people, everybody stay home, cloistered by themselves, and send a check.
But then you don't get the joy eating with all your friends and favorite family.
So it's win-win.
Exactly.
So
it's better.
Unless, of course, I don't know, I haven't, anyway. Go ahead.
Fellowship, the deadliest virtue.
Terrible. It was crazy. But
was fellowship in the seven deadly virtues?
Yes, you have to memorize it.
Who did that one?
I forget.
I can't remember. I gotta go back in. I packed up like four copies of various deadly virtues books when I was packing, and two copies of vodka. I've told this story on the show before as well, but it was funny. I had two copies of vodka, and I was like, I got to get rid of one of these. I don't need both of them.
I'm going to find one of them at Second Story Books.
To your children.
Except I opened it up, and the first one was inscribed something like, from Vic to Sunny. You're getting this one for free, so you better buy one. Because I assume I got it at a book party or something, the Discus book party probably. And then I opened up the second one, and the inscription was, to Sunny... I'm glad to see you bought one from Vic. So I was like, I need to keep this. I need to keep these. It's a set. It's
literally
a set.
Bookends. I missed my transition here, which was...
Sorry.
We went through three, four actual whole cartons of milk because people really love their cartons.
I thought you had the transition with brothers.
Because I prefer to take my coffee black. Speaking of which, over the weekend...
Bad boys
for life. And you were supposed to say, like your men.
See,
and then
I'm really glad we explained the brothers in the kitchen.
Well, this is good because this is really the end anyway. This is the end of the whole thing anyway. Enjoy the show, folks. This is it. Bad Boys for Life took the top spot at the box office with $62.5 million, but $73.4 million for the whole week, holiday weekend.
Four-day weekend.
Followed by 1917, just barely edged out. Doolittle, 1917 had $22 million, and Doolittle did about 21.8. I guess Doolittle did little.
Oh,
at the box office.
Good one.
Thoughts?
What was interesting about this week's box office take is that Bad Boys for Life did about twice what tracking thought it was going to do. This was projected in the mid-30s, and it ends up doing about 70, which is obviously an overperformance. And it's funny, so I went to go see it on a Thursday night at Thursday night 9:45 showing
at the Union Station
at the IMAX AMC Hoffman Center, and usually at
IMAX.
It's like an IMAX screen, you know. I went to the AMC Hoffman Center, watched it on the IMAX screen. Usually these screenings for a movie like this are like at 9:45 on a Thursday, between a quarter and half full. And this one was probably three quarters to 80% full. like probably 75-80% full. And I was like, the tracking numbers on this are wrong. The tracking, like, people are very excited for this. People are very into it. I think those first Thursday night sneaks were like $6 or $7 million, which is a lot for an R-rated movie. So I was like, yeah, the numbers are wrong on this, and glad to see that that played out. The other thing, obviously, is that Doolittle is like one of these catastrophic bombs of relatively
Mortal Engines level
historic proportions. I have seen two figures bandied about as the like potential loss number. One was 50, one is 100. I could see. I mean, who knows after ancillaries, but I think if Universal loses any less than $100 million on this, they're pretty lucky, which is good because they've also lost. They also lost like $50 million on Cats a few weeks before that. So been a bad couple weeks for Universal. Somebody's going to be promoted soon.
Does the stink of Doolittle hang around RDJ at all, or does he just get to shrug his shoulders and say, "Yeah, I was just collecting a check"?
I think
how much he's was doing
the,
his.
And I wonder how much was the check.
His Doolittle is essentially Tony Stark slash Sherlock Holmes Doolittle. I mean, he's doing his thing.
Sure. I think he. Well, I mean, look, the Sherlock Holmes series never really took off. It did okay. It didn't do great. Everything he has done outside of the Marvel movies over the last 12 years has been, at best, mediocre in terms of box office success. I mean, I would say that Robert Downey Jr. is not the guy you're going to want to necessarily hang a franchise on. That's not to say that the movies he's been doing aren't good or interesting or whatever. Like, there, you know, I for one would love to see him do more Kiss Kiss Bang Bang style stuff, and get back into that, like, that mode. But I mean, at the same time, I don't know that, you know, a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang style movie allows for, you know, like, trailers for his you know.
Can I interrupt though, because this illustrates a maxim in Hollywood which people often forget, which is that stars are invaluable if they're in the right part. And so Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark is a gold mine. Like, people really want to see that.
Yeah.
But it's not, if a star absent a part that people really want to see him in,
is this Doolittle a period piece?
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is it, like 1800s, 1900s?
Something like that. Whatever it's set. I don't know.
Is he English?
I haven't seen the movie.
No.
I didn't see it.
I didn't want to see the trailer. I felt like I've seen it.
Not just reshoots.
Lots of reshoots and re-edits and script work. And it was not a well-received movie. I think it's like 15% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. But I mean, look, I think that Robert Downey Jr. There are roles that he is well suited for. He is not well suited for this sort of thing. And Hollywood has to stop making Doolittle movies. Like, there is a, you know, the bomb, the 1967 bomb, almost sunk one studio. This could very easy. I mean, I guess Universal is probably more resilient than they can absorb a couple $100 million losses.
By Comcast.
Because they're owned by Comcast. And also, like, the Fast and Furious movies each, you know, earn like
there's the Eddie Murphy. There was the Eddie Murphy Doolittle.
Oh, that's profit. Right.
So
I like
there
that
was
one.
The Eddie Murphy Doolittle.
I like that one. Now, the first one, what was the first one you mentioned in 60? Was that like, is that Jerry Lewis? That's
no,
Nutty Professor.
No.
Jonathan Winters.
Yeah. It was nominated.
It's not Rex Harris.
It's funny. No. There's a book called Pictures at a Revolution by Mark Harris that was about the five best picture nominees of the 1968 Oscars, I think it was.
Sounds interesting.
And Dr. Doolittle is one of those movies. So it's like, it's this like snapshot of the industry in transition. Like, Dr. Doolittle was like the old school big budget, you know, you know, whatever prestige picture that MGM like muscled into the best picture race, despite the fact that it was a box office disaster and nobody actually liked it. And it was up against Bonnie and Clyde and The Graduate, as well as In the Heat of the Night. I forget what the last one was.
Well, that's funny. One of these things does not look like the other.
Yeah. So the lesson of Dr. Doolittle was like, this is a terrible thing for Hollywood to keep trying to do these. And like, this is, it's just history repeating itself 50 years later. It's crazy. I literally cannot believe somebody in 2018 or whenever this movie was greenlit was like, you know what we need? Mm-hmm. $175 million Dr. Dolittle movie. Sure. Sure.
How about The Hold for 1917? Very good.
Solid.
Very, very
People
good.
People love
right?
gimmick
60%.
Movies. Love them.
There's a lot of pushback against that movie now. Is
really?
There? Yeah, I was looking in Variety and other places.
What is it?
1917 should not win.
Why not?
Well, it's not the best movie of the year. That's why it shouldn't win.
The best movie? Uncut Gems. Obviously.
Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems.
Yeah, there was another movie.
Uncut Gems is certainly among the best movies of the year. But
oh, and then there was the article in Salon that says that we shouldn't like 1917 because it vindicates the president.
Yeah, it was a weird headline that was like this: the 1917 is a gift to Trump.
Yes, a gift. It's a gift.
Because it's like, what? Because it's nationalist.
Imperialist, nationalist,
it's literally,
fascist,
it's like the least.
Something is. Yeah. It's all right.
Stop the ride. I want to get off.
Yes. Okay. Bad Boy. How about a Big Boy? A Big Boy review of Bad Boys Forever, Sonny.
Bad Boys Forever is the reteaming of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence as the Miami cops who like to shoot things and blow stuff up and drive around in fast cars. The series, of course, was originated by Michael Bay, and there were two Bad Boys movies under Michael Bay's helming. The series has been dormant for, I think, 17 years now. I think the second one came out in 2003. Yeah, so 17 years. So it is a long time in coming. So long, in fact, that Martin Lawrence's character is now... I'm just going to call them Martin Lawrence and Will Smith in this.
Yes, please.
So Martin Lawrence's character is a grandfather. He's a grandfather now. He's rushing around in his car to go see the birth of his daughter's first child. These bad boys are now old boys. Get it's old, it's good. Like the it's movie good. Old Boy.
Oh, yeah.
No, never mind. I don't know. Look, I like this movie a lot because it. So the plot is relatively disposable. The son of a drug dealer wants to take revenge against Will Smith's character because Will Smith's character put his father in prison. The mother is behind the scenes coordinating everything. She's some sort of priestess, witch, voodoo doctor, and she's, you know, putting curses and hexes on everyone, and the whole thing is just an excuse to have some great fun shootouts and high-speed car chases and some like fun grandpa humor. It is definitely one of these movies that like really leans into the they're getting older and, you know, age sucks and blah blah blah. I had a good time in the theaters. I don't think it's high art. I think it does some interesting things visually, like this movie is not directed by Michael Bay. It's directed by a pair of
Belgian kids who were nine years old when the first Bad Boys came out.
Pair of Belgian kids.
They're 30.
That's so depressing.
So they do this kind of amusing thing with the playing with the classic Michael Bay spinning 360 shot where they're coming around the Porsche. And as the camera comes up in its arc, because, you know, the shot starts from below and it goes around and it comes up. And as it's coming up in his arc, Martin Lawrence slams the car door into a fire hydrant. And it both like kind of plays with that lineage and also makes a little bit of fun with it while also like paying homage to it. It's not like this is high art. It's not like this is a spectacularly well put together piece of filmmaking. It's just kind of fun.
Is it R?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely R.
Language.
Were you surprised a lot of language, not to see lots the of Platinum violence. Dunes logo on it? Because Bay doesn't even have a producing credit on this.
But interestingly,
all he has is a cameo.
He does have a cameo, which is interesting.
It's weird. I couldn't believe that he.
Well, I would assume that Platinum Dunes doesn't.
This at
I would
all?
Assume that Platinum Dunes. I don't think Platinum Dunes existed when this. It's a Bruckheimer movie. It's a Simpson Bruckheimer movie.
Yeah, okay.
And Jerry Bruckheimer produced this, yeah. So I would assume that he has like the. But I mean. Michael Bay, but it's the Michael Bay's cameo is the one time in the movie theater that I actually laughed out loud, and of course I was the only person to
recognize
to
him
do
as
it.
The,
so it was one of those awkward moments where I'm like guffawing to myself.
Was it the Sonny Bunch? Oh, ho, 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 ho. Was it that one?
No, it was more like a snort, like ha. It was like Fred Barnesian. Like,
did you have your arms crossed?
I was sitting like this because again, it was like at this point it's probably like 10:30 at night. I'm sitting there. I'm like trying not to fall asleep in the theater because 10:30 is when I go to bed now. And I'm like, oh, Michael Bay. Anyway, So I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I have no incredibly strong feelings about this movie, except for the fact that I hated the end. Can we talk about the end, or should we save the end for a little bit?
We can
talk about the end.
Spoilers.
I don't care.
Go spoilers. Yeah. Vic didn't even see it.
Vic didn't even see it. So. I hated the like attempt to. So the setup.
Oh, I have a question. Is Will Smith still single?
Yes, he is still single in this movie. He is still single in this movie.
Did he ever marry? Was he ever in love? Or was it the woman?
I don't know. I don't know.
The spoilers. So he was in love with the witch.
It's
his one love. His one.
Is Taya Leone? Does Taya Leone have a cameo in this? By the way,
she does not exist anymore.
You just watched the first Bad Boys, right?
I did.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did it jump?
It's so very 90s.
Did it jump out at you that Taya Leone was made to look exactly like Megan Fox?
Like Megan Fox
versa.
Would look.
Thank you. No, vice versa.
10 years
vice
later.
Versa. Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like,
as
she.
Charles Gerding says.
But Taya Leone.
Versa visa.
But Taya Leone doesn't actually look like that, really, in real life. And Megan Fox does kind of look like that, just like all the time.
It's the half open mouth look.
He was clearly like perfecting his image of like the,
right, woman.
The of woman of the of womanhood.
His until Eve. He could, it's
he
really
could find
his Eve.
He could find the perfect figure.
There's a similarity. Yeah.
So the thing I hated about the ending of this movie is the whole movie goes through like this drug dealer, the scion of the drug lord, is like the baddest dude ever. He's just murdering people left and right. He's like killing criminals. He's killing judges. He's like blowing up snitches and cops and blah blah blah. And then at the end of the movie, he is like they like try to redeem him and make him to be not a terrible person. At one point, he actually whispers to himself, "No innocence." When he's like trying to pull the trigger on a sniper shot.
Yeah.
And he's like, "No innocence." But all he's killed are innocents. All he's killed are innocents. All he's killed are innocents.
No, they're all people who set up his dad.
His dad, the bad drug murderer guy.
But it turns out he wasn't his dad. That's why he regrets killing all those people.
It turns out it wasn't his dad. And also, like, at the end of the movie, is set up as like a Fast and Furious style, like the villain's gonna become one of the good guys. It's like it's a total ripoff.
I bought that hook, line, and sinker.
You bought that? I hated that.
I thought it was a totally earned twist because the whole time, throughout the whole movie, the mom is being off. The witch mom is being awful to him, and he is just like taking it out of a sense of duty. He thinks she's wrong about all of this crap. He doesn't kill the innocent bystander because he thinks these are all righteous shoots because he's avenging his father. And what flips him is the end, he realizes he was avenging somebody who has no relation to him, which means it isn't vengeance, which means none of that stuff is righteous. Like, I bought it all.
So, but if none of it's righteous, then he should not be redeemed.
Well, no, he's happy to do his time because he says, I know I got to do my time for all those terrible things I did. Because they were only terrible. Remember, cause, like Fast and Furious, it's all about family.
It's all about family.
In watching Bad Boys for the first time,
did you love it?
No, but it's very weird because it feels derivative. But of course, it was what spun off all these other movies that became derivative of that formula. I mean, this is his first, is his directorial debut, Michael Bay, or no?
No,
Bad Boys.
I think it maybe his feature film.
Okay, yeah, feature
debut.
Okay,
he definitely like directed. He directed like Meatloaf music videos.
Oh, right. But it's in terms of a big movie. So like the quick cuts and the 360, as you mentioned, and the music, the pulsating music and the whole thing and the explosions. And of course, but that was, you know, he was really want to, you know, make his mark on that. And so I thought that was very funny to watch that in retrospect.
Oh, my gosh, you're totally right. Bad Boys is his directorial debut, followed quickly by The Rock, Armageddon. Pearl Harbor, Bad Boys 2, The Island, Transformers.
The Island?
Yeah.
What is The Island?
Oh, The Island. The Island's the one with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, and the one where
McGregor.
They try to, yeah.
No one can be told what The Island is.
Oh, right.
Is.
Yeah,
the Island, it's where they have the clones, where the rich people raise their clones and then harvest their organs from them. It's actually a pretty interesting idea.
I thought that was the Matt Damon movie. The Matt Damon movie, what is it called? Eleuthera, what is it called?
Elysium.
Same idea, I think. Right?
Amongst Michael Bay's credits before this, of course.
Wilson Phillips, You Won't See Me Cry.
Poco, Nothing to Hide.
Lionel Richie, Do It to Me.
Play That Funky Music. Playboy, Carrie Kendall, September 1990 Video Centerfold.
I bet that's good. You know, you forget, also you forget that Martin Lawrence was a skinny dude.
Well, it's another funny thing about this movie, because they really lean into like Martin Lawrence being like kind of old and heavy.
Yeah.
And it is like
he's aged. Whereas Will Smith probably still looks good.
Well, Will Smith does, but he also looks like a 50-year-old man who is trying to not look 50. Like there are a couple of scenes he's like lifting weights. There are a couple of scenes where he's like lifting weights, and I'm like, okay, I don't know that this is like you. I don't know that we need like the shirtless Will Smith shot here. It's like it's a little bit self-indulgent. It's a bit like, remember when Tom Cruise had the shirtless shot in Jack Reacher?
Yes.
The first Jack Reacher, and Rosamund Pike was like, oh my. And I was like, he doesn't look that good. like, you know, he looks good. He looks good, but
I would be thrilled.
No, but I'm saying like there's a difference between
it's aspirational really for people our age.
There's a difference between having Channing Tatum do that shot and having like Will Smith or Tom Cruise do that shot now. Like I don't think it's necessarily age appropriate.
So my sense in Bad Boys,
Put your shirt on, Grandpa.
In Bad Boys, well, I guess much like in Bad Boys Forever, there's not much of a plot. Like I don't know who the villain is. I mean, I know who he is, but I don't know what his story is. You don't really know that. And the idea, it's funny, the idea where they have to switch identities, but it's not really needed to do that. It's just for the comedy shtick when they do that in the original Bad Boys. I mean, it makes no sense. But they do have good chemistry. And, of course, I noticed when I saw the credits, both movies, I guess all three movies, have my good friend Joe Pantoliano. Yes.
Joey Pants buys it.
Pour one out for Joey Pants.
For life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Question, is he bald in this, or did he still give him a little fake crew cuttish buzz
cut? He's got a little crew cuttish thing going on.
So he's great in this, too.
Yeah.
He's great in For Life.
Is he still...
You seem to like this movie much more than I did, JBL.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's better than 1917, because it's a different film.
Yeah,
it's a different
kind of movie. Apples, oranges.
But maybe it's better than 1917? Mm. I don't know.
And 1917 you thought was the best movie of the last decade.
Of all time, probably.
Possibly of all time.
Very possible that Bad Boys for Life is the single greatest thing ever put on
the single greatest cinematic achievement.
I'm not willing to commit to that, but I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
It was great.
Taya Leone, you're right about Taya Leone. She was good in this movie. Right, yeah, it's probably. But
that's not what I said exactly. I said she. I said
she looks like the beta version of Megan Fox.
I said she looked like proto Megan Fox.
I was we were talking
obviously
about
these
this.
Are synonyms.
We had a conversation about this on Saturday where you were trying to sell me on her in this movie because I really don't like her. And I mean, and I saw her in I saw her in Deep Impact, but I thought it was going to be a different kind of movie. Okay, do we have any more?
Can I make the case for Bad Boys Gemini Man? Because I thought
Bad Boys Gemini
Man. And that's the other thing. It's totally 100% a ripoff of Gemini
weird,
Man.
Gemini Man, which came out
2 months ago.
So it's a heritage movie in a lot of ways, and
heritage action.
It is a buddy cop. It's a buddy cop movie.
Get it?
No, I don't.
I said some heritage action.
Some of our listeners get it.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Listener Mike Needham got it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have it. Just not. Sorry.
So it's like a New Jack Lethal Weapon series. People really like these. There's a great deal of affection, which is why it overperformed.
Affection.
Film Twitter does not
affection
understand
is
this.
Right. That's right.
But there's affection for these characters. And this version of it, the third installment, plumbs all of that affection in ways which is very gratifying for people who like it and not at all exploitive. It's not a cash grab, nothing like that. It reminds me of Lethal Weapon 4.
We saw that in the theater.
Right.
People Lethal were Weapon very 4. Excited to
is
see
that the
it.
One with Jet Li?
Yeah, which is really the end
that
of Lethal Weapon
fantastic
series.
Fantastic in that.
But it's...
I think it's literally... Isn't that the last one?
Yeah.
I don't think there was a Lethal Weapon.
I would have seen it if there was another one.
And it was just... The whole thing was like family, right? The end of Lethal Weapon 4. Like
it sort
of
wraps it all up. That's
and
right. And pictures from the old movies.
So this does a bunch of stuff. It pays everything off in ways... This is my measure of... movies like this, if they are better than they have to be. And Bad Boys for Life is better than it has to be at basically every turn, right? The transitions from action to comedy are way better than they have to be. The moment when Martin Lawrence, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. So they're in a motorcycle chase. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith use a rubber bullet to shoot the bad guy they're chasing. The bad guy falls off his motorcycle. They go over to his body, and he's got this giant, I don't even know how to describe
it. He's got like a hematoma.
Like a giant hematoma
from the rubber bullet.
From the rubber bullet. And they're looking at it, and Martin Lawrence goes, I can't stop. I'm sorry. I can't. He reaches because he has to touch it. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Because Martin Lawrence is either the Black Will Ferrell or he is the real-life Tracy Jordan. Right. Martin Lawrence is a wildly underappreciated
comedian.
Well,
he was also your favorite part of The Beach Bum, remember?
Yes.
He had that great 10-minute cameo
in
that movie.
One of the worst movies.
Martin Lawrence is absolutely great. And all of the jokes...
Very difficult wild life that Martin Lawrence leads, a wild life.
May I explain to you? So this is my favorite gag in the movie. It's a second-level humor. Right. So early in the film, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith have to go chase down this hoodlum. And when they see who the hoodlum is on the computer, showing him, and they turn to, they're like, oh, we know each other. We know him. Martin Lawrence says, I coached him on the 10-year-old rec basketball team that I had as a kid, or that I was, 10 years ago, whatever. And he says, yeah, no, he was terrible. I had to bench him in the championship game because he called me up. I don't want you to have to bleep it.
Bad word.
A bad word, right. And Will Smith says, but you won anyway, right? He goes, no, we lost by 40 points because he was our best player. And Will Smith's like, that guy was your best player? Because he's this big fat guy. He says, yeah, no, he was great. But I made my point. Anyway, so it's this funny bit between the two of them. And then 20 minutes later, they're in the club trying to arrest this big fat guy. And he pulls this insane parkour move where he jumps off of a balcony and rides a column all the way down. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence look to each other. Lawrence says, I told you he was athletic. Everything pays back. There's a scene where Martin Lawrence is watching a telenovela at a spa or something that is funny in its own way, except then is replayed at the end, which is the big climax, and all of a sudden it's eerily like the telenovela scene, and he picks up on it. Everything about it is better than it has to be.
It's a fun movie.
When is the last... I would say best buddy cop movie I've seen in a while, dating back to maybe The Nice Guys, or...
I haven't given this serious thought. I don't know.
Or 21 Jump Street. So I would say in several years. This is the best buddy cop movie I've seen in probably 5 years.
Yeah. I like The Nice Guys a lot.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of movie than this.
It is. But anyway, it's great. Okay. Victorino, I can't wait for us to go see it together.
We'll see. We were talking about the 2010s. You wanted to discuss it, and then it turns out that I was the only one, I think, who put together a list.
Yeah, I thought we were going to do it like some other show.
Okay, so
let me best
just go
movies
my,
of
okay,
the 2020s.
10 to 1.
Can I just preface this? We are ripping off the expanded universe because they did a show about
this.
Oh,
they did?
Okay. And I thought it was such a great bit that I wanted us to
not,
do it too.
I did not listen to it, so I'm not cheating. I did not get it from them.
Well, their opinions were terrible.
Okay, well, we'll see. 10 to 1. 1 being the best, okay? Number 10, and don't try to guess before.
Best of the 2010s.
Best of the 2010s. And don't try to guess before decade. I say it. Don't try to guess before I say it. Just wait for me to say it. Number 10, Rogue One.
Yeah.
I like that one. It's great. Krennic. I love Ben Mendelsohn. I just think he's really great. And he makes that movie. There were problems with that movie, but he makes that movie. It feels like Saving Private Ryan in space. Okay. Number
because
they all die.
Space
at the end,
Private
they
Ryan.
All die. There's a scene where... the defector TIE fighter pilot is there, and he knows he's got to run over and turn the thing on. And he has a look on his face that he's going to die, and it reminded me of a scene at the end of Saving Private Ryan where they got to go over, the bridge and tie the fuse and the whole thing. And he knew he was gonna. I mean, it's that sort of. He did it very well. Okay, so number 9 is obscure, ish, not to you guys, but for some people, Hell or High Water. I don't know why I liked that movie, but I liked it a lot.
Well, you liked it because it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay, good. The scene where they go into the little diner and you got to order the T-bone. Is it the T-bone or something like that? It's very funny. Number 8 is Inception.
That's low. That should be higher.
That it required, well, if it was easier to understand, it would.
Also, it was very long.
It was very long. It was so, very long.
You know, if you think about it, it's amazing that it made the list at all.
And it really is a miracle. It is a miracle that it made the list. But it's a deep thought. And Marion Cotillard. Okay. Number seven. Argo. I know there are issues that people don't like. I like that movie a lot. And I know it's not. Obviously, there was no chase scene at the end with the plane. I understand that. But that opening scene of the storming of the embassy is so harrowing. Loved it.
Is this your only Best Picture winner?
I'm not
on the
No. I think there's a couple others I can't remember. Okay. I have terrible memory about Best Pictures. Number six, Zero Dark Thirty. So it's almost back to back. And I liked Zero Dark Thirty a lot. You guys did, right?
Yeah.
You liked it? Okay,
I like
so no complaints. Okay. Number five, The Big Short. The ending is so preachy, but it's still an enjoyable movie. The Big Short.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I love the it's now if you any movie does it now, it's what's the word am I looking for again? Derivative or whatever it is, because where you have this, you know, they splice in people talking and doing the explainers about you know, mortgages and such. But easy to understand that way for people like me.
Nails the quadrant.
Okay.
If you're going to go with a, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt. If you're going to go with a, like, Wall Street is bad, Greed of Wall
Wolf of,
Street.
Wolf,
you've got to go
Wall
with
Street.
Wolf of Wall
I
Street.
I have mixed feelings. I think that was 11. Okay. Number four, Dunkirk. Great movie. Sure. Again, obsession with time, as he has, of experiencing Dunkirk in hours, day, and week, but it worked for me.
Sorry, can I pause here?
And they, you know, and the crazy thing is, they really didn't use their entire Luftwaffe to go. It's crazy. It's a crazy story.
Wolf of Wall Street was at 11.
Yeah,
and Big Short was at 5. You,
it was long.
Insane. Just by
you
the
know
quadrant.
What? I'll tell I mean, you. And I love. Look, I love the director. I know the. I don't believe me. Believe me, Margot Robbie. I loved it, but it really failed the duration. Really failed it, but it's enjoyable.
It's like
it's
3 hours.
I need to see
it's an
it again.
Epic.
I need to see
okay,
it
so
again.
Dunkirk
okay?
was what
four? Okay, number three.
Now it's
and
serious.
Again, you gotta give it some time, right? You gotta give it some time because sometimes you know it's like I don't know, the movie's new. Is it gonna hold up? And maybe it won't. But at the moment, number three is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Very okay? solid choice.
Really interesting. I need to see it more than once, and I plan on.
I've seen it 3 times now. It gets better every time.
There you go. Okay.
Great hangout.
Number two, The Social Network. Yeah. Did you like? I liked it a lot. It really says a lot about that. I wonder if it holds up. But I mean, I just felt like it was obviously well done, and it really explains everything that we're in now really goes back to that, which is insane. Okay. And number one for the 2010s, blue is the warmest color. Do you remember Gene's review from 2013? Do you remember that review?
Did he review it?
He did it back in 2013.
Can we find this in the archives?
Find it for a second.
Boop, 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 boop.
Blue is the warmest color. Reminded me of Ridley Scott's 1492, a titillating journey of discovery that takes the main character deep into a forbidden jungle. And both movies tackle hot button issues. Adele encounters the alluring Emma, who's got scruffy blue hair on her head. Adele's best friends turn their backs on her, but not Emma. And when Adele confesses her love to Emma, Emma promises she won't tell a soul. Her lips are sealed, but not for long.
Oh.
'Cause she's telling everybody. I give blues the warmest color, 4 stars.
Boy, that was great. I'd forgotten that
one. You forgot that one back in 2013?
He did that on the Today Show.
That was back
before
when
he was on the Subbeacon.
That was back when we were doing. No, that was part of our testing phase. People don't understand this. We did three years of test episodes.
Some people use them later. You know, I know you do that. You did a lot of with your podcast across the aisle.
You gotta
use them. But we buried a lot.
We took just 3 years of stuff and just put it buried it deep down.
Okay. Real.
When Shannon asks me what blue is the warmest color is, I'm just gonna send her in your direction.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You just send her a link.
Sapphic. Number one, The Dark Knight Rises. which was, I think, 2010?
2012. 2012.
2012.
So you have three Christopher Nolan movies.
I know.
No, it's fine. I like Christopher Nolan.
Why wouldn't he? Wouldn't you have three? I would probably have three.
I would not, because when I make lists of this sort, I create rules. I create rules that say you can only have one from a director, or you can only have, like, one.
So why would you penalize the greatest living director just because he happens to direct better movies than everybody else?
Look, I'm just saying, I like a little bit of diversity in my list. You know, there's no women on this best of. I guess Catherine Bigelow. Yeah.
I do think I need to go back to Wolf of Wall Street, and maybe if I think of it in my mind as like a 3-part miniseries, then I think it would be really amazing. But you know, when you see it all, it's a lot to take.
The first time I saw that movie, I saw that movie in Los Angeles at the Hollywood ArcLight. Because I was like, I was visiting my wife's family who lives in Los Angeles, and our flight left the next day, and so we got a hotel basically like down near LAX, and we took like an Uber or whatever out to you know the ArcLight, and it was the first time I'd ever used one of those screen. It was the first time that I had ever been to a theater with assigned seating, so I was like, oh, I guess I'll just get this one. And I had picked the seat that is directly in front of the screen.
Oh.
Not the seat that was all the way in. I thought it was all the way in the back.
Instead of
I had picked it all the way.
That's confusing sometimes.
And I like got into the theater and I was like, oh no. So for 3 hours, just like this.
Oh my gosh.
And in front of the like enormous Cinerama dome.
Margot Robbie must have been just like right on your face. The actress.
Yes.
Must have been right over you. There's, you know, who else was good in that besides the main characters? Kyle Chandler, and I'm glad to see him come around and the whole thing. Okay, I had some. I think I had another thought about. Oh yes, the end of the bachelor party scene the next morning, and you just see all these bodies lying around.
Fall of Rome type stuff.
Yes, a good friend of ours, I'll leave his name out of it, who we all know, saw that movie, and he nodded. He just said yes. Yes.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay. Before we go, just a reminder, a word from our sponsor, JVL.
If you're going to lean right, then swag right. At swagright.com, get your swag for those you love and like this year from Trump shirts, Swalwell whoopee cushions, and the Pocahontas pillow to fake news gear and more. And now, SwagRite has just released its Membership Club subscription, featuring a monthly wearable gift, drinkable mug, and many surprise gifts. All gifts are relevant to the news of the day. $24.99 a month, or sign up for your annual club membership for the value of $19.99 a month. And once you sign up, you'll immediately get your President Trump coloring book, his Promise Keeper shirt, and the Washington Free Beacon Truth Monkey. Yay. Go to swagright.com now and check it all out.
Thank you, JVL. Sonny, the luck on you can't get enough of it. Okay.
SwagRight.
Corrections and shout outs. I have some interesting thing here. You're going to find this interesting. A listener, Brandon Chizul, says we should watch The Velocipastor on Amazon.
I texted you guys.
I know you did.
Yesterday.
That's why I didn't reply, because I was going to save it for the show. Quote, he says, this hits all the sub-beacon high notes of morality action plays being just over an hour long, Catholicism, drug-dealing ninjas, and man-eating dinosaurs. What?
You do know. Did you watch the trailer, Sonny?
No.
Okay. So the premise of the movie is there's this priest who is boning the super hot girl on the side.
What?
But also, he turns into a velociraptor sometimes and then kills ninjas who are dealing drugs.
So he's a Protestant minister.
No, he's Catholic. It looks amazing. It looked Toxic Avengers level of... Do you remember the Toxic Avengers?
Yeah, sure.
Are you two?
That was the first.
This is a Troma-like production. Yeah. It looks amazing.
Okay. On the other hand, listener Krista Soltis Anderson, I'm not sure who she is, recommends Fleabag. She says, quote, each episode is short, like 30 minutes or less, and each season is 6 episodes. I think it easily checks all boxes in your quadrant. All boxes. That's what I said. Okay. Thank you.
KSA deserves better than that from you.
Just reading it. I'm telling her she liked Fleabag. All right. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments. Tweet us at Sonny Bunch, at Victorino Mattis. Again, if you don't like a review... DM us first before you hit how many stars. We could talk it through. We could talk it through. Okay. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon under podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. Well, I can't believe this is our last show together.
It's the last time we are all going to sit in the same room together. Ever.
Ever. Well, I mean, after lunch. We're going to have lunch.
Because Sunnyfest never ends.
Sunnyfest never ends.
And then should we tell listeners where you're going to take a week off for transitioning?
Yeah. I need to establish Move. Myself in Dallas and figure out exactly what the technical challenges of recording remotely are. And then we'll...
How long does it take to get to for drive? How long is your driving going to be?
From our place to Nashville is 10 hours, and from Nashville to Dallas is 10 hours. So Nashville is right in the middle.
That's weird. In my mind, I picture Nashville closer to us than being equidistant.
It's right in the middle. So we're gonna drive to Nashville one day, and then from Nashville to Dallas the next day.
Do the movers with their trucks, do they just keep on going, or they stop with you?
So the movers, it's like a big giant moving van. So they have four families to pick up, I'm sure.
You're not getting your furniture until August.
What I want to know is who's getting there first.
It's we're gonna probably be in the house for 5 to 10 days without real furniture.
five to ten weeks.
And then when we come out, we come back in whatever format that be, there's gonna be a lot of changes.
I'm sure it will be fine.